Carla and Jim Barbarossa, and they are from Step by Step Ministries. But they are the authors, are facilitators of a testimonial book. And I handed out a few last week so some of you could get an idea of what that's all about. But they're here to teach us about how we can partner with them and go from being disciples to making disciples. And so we have a special spiritual expression number by Carla and Joanne. And right after they are finished, we will ask if Jim will just come on up and begin to minister. So at this time, River of Life, let's give them a warm welcome. And we're going to ask if you ladies will just come on up. And if you can adjust the lights up here to be on the baptistry. The baptistry.
The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel."
You know, we're all a work in process. And I believe before the end of the day, God is going to ask us if we would be willing to be reshaped a little and climb back up on that potter's wheel one more time. My name is Jim Barbarossa. Most people know me as the shofar man. Oh, and by the way, I was supposed to say this. On the way in this morning, the Lord said to tell you, the healer is in the house. My message has nothing to do with healing, except the ultimate healing of salvation. But when the healer is in the house, he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and however he wants. So if I happen to see somebody running around the building, I'll know why. Because God touched them. In the Word of God, it says in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 20, "In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, the shofar, in that place, God will fight for you." That means He'll beat off sickness on your behalf. It's not in my notes, but the Lord says, "Have everybody stand, because you need to release a shout." There's deliverance in the shout. There's deliverance in the shout. There's a healing in the shout. So just as the walls of Jericho came down, those sicknesses can come down. So as the shofar is sounded, let a shout rise up from the depth of your being and shout until the release comes. And if you don't know what to shout, this is the best thing to shout. Jesus! You may be seated if you can. And you may run if you want. I want to tell you a little bit about some of the things that we brought with us today. And teaching on the shofar is not one of those things today. But I do mentor people in the teaching of the shofar. I've taught hundreds, if not thousands. And I do that through the two books that you'll find back on our table. And also a 9-DVD teaching series that contains about 10 hours of instruction on the shofar. I also give the person who needs mentored my personal email address so that as they watch each DVD, we can correspond and I can walk them through the process. Basically, when I teach somebody, they learn in 6 months everything it took us 20 years to learn. And so that is available. These things are on the table. You'll also find a book I wrote many years ago on the table called Do You Know God's Will for Your Life? And there's two chapters in there about writing your testimony, which is going to be our subject today. Don, would you bring that banner up real quick? Several years ago, I was teaching on the subject of the fivefold ministry, the gifts in Corinthians and the gifts in Romans. And as I was teaching on those things, God said to me, you need a visual. And I've never been a visual type person to have props and things. And I sat down at the table and God gave me this. And I took this to a guy who's artistic. And he made this for me. But if you've ever had a problem understanding the fivefold ministry, the Corinthians and the Romans gifts, I want you to know that they all tie together. And they ultimately point to Acts 1:8. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and the uttermost places of the world. So anyway, it's not the teaching today, but there's two DVDs on this banner and on the fivefold ministry and the gifts of the Spirit. Don, you can take that back. Thank you. We're done. The other thing that I want to tell you about that's on our table is a subject that I never wanted to teach on. And we were part of a church maybe 12 years ago, 15, you lose track of time after a while. And this church was struggling financially big time. And the Lord says to me, I want you to go to your pastor. And I want you to say to your pastor that I want you to receive the offerings for the next 3 months. And I had never received an offering in my life anywhere. He said, and I don't want you begging for money. I don't want you pleading for money. I want you to teach what my word says. And so I went to my pastor and I said, Pastor, this is what I think God's saying to me. And if you don't want me to do it, that's okay with me. I was letting myself out, you know. I said, God wants me to come up and do a 5-minute sermonette when we receive the offering for 3 months. But again, if you don't think God's in it, that's okay with me. So about 2-3 days later, Pastor calls me and he says, Jim, he said, God's in it. Well, let me tell you what happened. After 3 months, the tithes and offerings in this church doubled. After 3 months, the people tore up their credit cards, started paying off their debt, and started living by all of the principles in the Word of God dealing with money. And there are many of them. Many of them. Anyway, those two teachings are on a DVD set out there. And one of the other things that's on there is how God demolished a $750,000 debt in mine and Carla's life when he gave us a plan over a 2-year period, paid off $750,000. Boom. Thank you, Lord. I had no idea how it could happen, but God made it happen. So anyway, those teachings are all out there and they're available. So now I want to go into the message today. And what God is, what I feel he's saying today, And I want to start with a few quotes. You've probably heard of some of these people before. The first quote that I want to share with you comes back from the year of 1825, roughly. A man by the name of Charles Finney. Anybody ever heard of Charles Finney? Great man of God, I believe. This is what Charles Finney said back in 1825. It is the great business on earth of every Christian, say every Christian, to save souls. Now, if you are thus neglecting the main business of life, what are you living for? You know, I think Charles was addressing a problem that was happening in the year of 1825. And I believe God was having him say that because there was a problem in 1825. And then we move ahead to 1877. A man by the name of Andrew Murray. Anybody ever heard of Andrew Murray? Andrew Murray said this. There are only two kinds of Christians. Say only two kinds of Christians. Soul winners and backsliders. That's what Andrew said in 1877. I think there must have been a problem in the church in 1877. Then we advance to 1892. Another man by the name of Charles Spurgeon. I know everybody's heard of Charles Spurgeon. At least I would think. Charles Spurgeon said, if you have no desire for others to be saved, then you are not saved yourself. And you can be sure of that. That's what Charles said back in 1892. So there must have been an area in the church that he was addressing because there was a problem. And as the man of God, he was speaking into it. Then we advance to the year of 1940. And this is a man who preached on for the next 40, 50 years. And I know everybody knows this man. Billy Graham. And Mr. Billy Graham said, the greatest strike of our generation has not been the labor unions, but the 20th century Christians, the army of God, who have refused to follow the Savior's commands. Again, I think he was addressing an issue. And then we advance again to 1951, Dr. Freddie Gage. We need to stop condemning sinners for not coming to the church to hear the gospel. And we need to start condemning Christians for not going from the church with the gospel. But enough of the problem. What I want to talk to you about is the solution. I've heard about the problem for 25 years that I've been saved. The reality of it is, even in the Brana report released not long ago, 80% of all Christians believe they have a part to play, a role to play in the reaching of lost souls. But only 10% practice what they believe. But again, let's talk about the solution. How many received a book when you came in? A book with a letter in it. How many didn't receive a book with a letter in it? If you didn't, raise your hands up high or stand up for a minute and they're going to bring you one. Go ahead. If you did not get a book with a letter in it, please stand. And that book will be delivered to you in a moment. Get one there. One in the back over there. Many years ago, I was very fortunate that a young man of 78 years old came into my life. And he said, I want to teach you what's important. And he taught me how to write my personal testimony. How to just take that simple testimony and put it on paper. This is who I was before. This is how I came to know Jesus. And this is who I am now. And there better be a difference in the who I am now and the who I was before. And if there's not a big difference, then we need to go back to our knees and we need to talk to Jesus some more. Amen? Well, anyway, I wrote my testimony as a 3-day-old Christian. I didn't know nothing, but I knew what Jesus did for me. I knew I was lonely. I was depressed. I had a hole within me that was so big you could drive a semi through it. And then Jesus came in. And that changed it all. New game. And I just put all that on paper. And I started giving it away everywhere I went. As a 3-day-old Christian, I went home the very night the man of God taught it and I wrote out my testimony. I went the next day and I printed 25 copies and started giving them away. I mailed one to a guy by the name of David. Why did I mail it to him? Because the Holy Spirit told me to. 3-day-old Christian hears from Jesus. Yay! I think we hear better from Jesus when we first get saved. In many cases, we lose something along the way. But I want you to know today, you can get it back. And you don't have to lose it. I started sharing testimonies everywhere I went. I become a walking testimony machine. I remember people started getting saved and I'd walk through the church and somebody would say, there goes that crazy Jim Barbarossa and he's got that newborn Christian zeal and one of these days he's going to lose it and be just like us. No, thank you. I still got that crazy Christian zeal and ain't nobody taking it. Is it okay if I get a little bit excited? There's nothing more exciting about looking at, into the eyes of a lost soul and leading them to the King of Glory. There ain't nothing better than that. But anyway, I mailed this testimony to a guy named David. I was a week in the Lord, approximately. About a month later, I see this guy walking down my driveway. And I'm looking, I'm thinking, who is this guy? It was David. But David looked different. He had this aura about his face that he didn't have the last time I saw him. He gets up on the front porch and he shakes my hand. Thank you. Thank me for what? He said, that story that you sent me. He said, I ended up going to church because of it. He said, I went to church and they gave an altar call. And me and 3 members of my family all went up and received Jesus at the same time. Well, I've been a businessman a lot longer than I've been a minister. And one of the things I learned in business, if it works, you don't stop doing it. So I went to the print shop and I had 5,000 copies of my testimony made. And now I got testimonies flying everywhere. Everywhere I go, testimonies are flying. Long story short, that evolved into me teaching this at a church in Hobart, Indiana. That was the first place. And since then, we've printed several books, like the one in your hand. And I want to tell you a little bit about this particular book. And there's a letter in there you can read at your leisure from the pastor. But anyway, what makes these books so important is they're based on Scripture. In Revelations, it talks about, and Satan will be defeated by the word of your by the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So contained in the book are the testimonies of the people on the back of the book. But between the testimonies is the testimony of Jesus Christ. So it's the fullness of that Scripture tied together within the book. What makes this book important is it contains the book, the testimony of Jesus Christ. So you've got 2 testimonies, you've got a page called Truth. You've got a couple testimonies, you've got a page called Truth. You've got a couple testimonies, and it's laced the whole way between the book that way. The chapters are very short, they're very easy to read. If you look at the cover, there's nothing religious about the cover at all. But what you find on the cover is a lighthouse, an international symbol of hope. This symbol speaks hope in almost every nation of the world. Lighthouse is symbolic of hope, a safe harbor, a safe place, a place for hurting people to go to receive help. And then down below that you see life has many storms, and below that you see storms come in many forms. And I can't tell you how often when we hand somebody these books, their eyes are drawn to one of those words floating around in the water, and they start weeping immediately, and that opens up the door for ministry. I am so glad that God put that 78-year-old man in my life 25 years ago. Because when he taught me to write my story and start sharing it for the glory of God, he gave me purpose. And that purpose has never left me. And that purpose has actually grown. And it started as a small fire, and now it's just a blaze. But the cool part about it is it's contagious. And others are catching it, and they're becoming a blaze in the same way. This purple book, the people on the back of it, their pastors partnered with me and Carla a year ago. Maybe 15, 16 months altogether. And we came into their church like we're here today, and taught them and talked to them about writing their personal testimony to the glory of God. They took to heart what we taught, and we printed this book. In 1 year, this 25-member church has distributed 35,000 copies to lost souls. Imagine what could happen worldwide if every group of 25 people would share their faith with 35,000 people. Imagine what would happen in this city if every 25 of you shared your faith with 35,000 lost souls in this city. Wow. Yes. That is a wow. The beautiful part about this, it doesn't take somebody with this wonderful gift of gab, this charismatic personality to do this. Everybody can do this. What's the requirement? Jesus in here. A testimony. If you got a testimony, you got a story to tell, and there's somebody out there that needs to hear your story. And the devil just told somebody, well, my story's boring. He's a liar. Every story will reach people to the glory of God. And one of the coolest parts about this is the way that people receive these books. The rejection rate is about 1 out of 100. And I'm talking about while we're out in public. Could you put up smiling faces 1? So while we're out in public, just passing out books as we go, whether it's in the grocery store, the doctor's office, the courthouse, you know, whatever it is, as we go, we're passing out these books. We pass out 100 and get only 1 refusal of the gospel. But look at the faces of the people receiving, and you can flip through those. This is where, Carla, remind me, Ireland. Yeah, so Ireland. Yeah, cool. Keep going. Just flip through them. But everywhere that we go, we sow the gospel, and this is such an easy way. Just continue to flip through them. I just want to show you these smiling faces. Keep flipping, yeah, keep flipping. Smiling faces. Young people, older people, middle-aged people, it doesn't matter. Only 1 out of 100 will reject this method of sharing the gospel. Isn't that awesome? There's a person in the grocery store waiting for somebody to hand them a book. There's a person in a doctor's office just waiting for somebody to hand them in a book. There are people at the hotel this morning. We gave away a dozen books to different people. And why do we do that? Well, let me show you why. In the back of every book is a cutout card. And on that cutout card, the person fills it out saying that they got saved, or they recommitted their life to the Lord, or their life was just touched in some general way by reading the book. And all of these cards represent lost souls. Right now, we are hearing between 10 and 15 people every month whose life is getting changed by these books floating around the country. To date, we have been able to sow about 700,000 copies all over this nation and all over the world. Isn't that awesome? But my question to you is, do you care enough about lost souls that you would be willing to sit down and write your story to the glory of God? Would you like to have a book like this with your faces on the cover and your stories on the inside? You should see the way people react when you're sitting in a restaurant and they serve you and you say, hey, I have a gift for you, and you slip a good tip, a $10 or a $20 bill in there, whatever it might be, and you say, I have a gift for you, and I'm a co-author of this book. You see, once you write your story, your testimony, you become a co-author of the book. And in the world's eyes, you're now famous. And they will read your story just because you're in the book. It's such an easy way for one to share their faith. But what I want to do right now, I want you first to hear from my first student. Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. I want you to hear from my first student when it comes to teaching people how to share their faith. And she's coming up and she's going to hand me a thing called a timer. And we do this for a particular reason. Do you know that anybody who has any kind of preach in them at all does not know how to shut up? Truth? Come on. So anyway, you're going to hear from four different people how being in a book has impacted their lives. And Carla's going to be the first.
You can put that one, the first picture up, and then I'll... So I dealt with fear. I had paralyzing fear in my life. Big piece of duct tape on my mouth. Jim got saved, and he was like a witnessing machine. And I had to pray and ask God to help me to overcome that fear, and God answered my prayer. So why do I love to hand out real-life stories books? Because of Laura. She's from St. Augustine. She was homeless, and she was living in a shelter. And her sister was soon going to be able to get her a place of her own. And she cried when I gave her the book. And she said, I know God brought you here today. And then the next one was because of Joel, who was also from the St. Augustine area. And when I handed him a book, he said, is this going to make me cry? And I said, well, it might. And I started sharing the gospel with him. And there's some things that he knew about and some things he didn't. And I asked him, do you want to pray right now and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? He says, I don't know. And I said, well, if you do nothing else, please read the truth pages. And then I placed him in the Holy Spirit's hand. And it reminded me of in the scripture about when Paul was talking to King Agrippa, and he said, thou almost persuaded me. That's what I felt like when Joel said, I don't know if I want to right now. How about Linda from Pennsylvania? She worked in the breakfast area at the hotel, and she was so thankful to receive the book that I placed in her hand. I got to talk with her, and she shared with me some really devastating things that were going on in her life, and I said, can we pray together? And she said, yes. And in the midst of my praying, I said, would you like to receive Jesus as your Savior? And she said, yes. So right there in the breakfast area, she received Jesus as Savior. I couldn't wait to get back to the room to tell Jim what had happened. I just thanked the Lord. I mean, I went back down there. I had given her the book, and then I went back down to get some ice, and that's when that whole situation took place. And I just thank God for her salvation. How about this lady from Bahamas? Her name's Canny Cake. She was selling jewelry on the beach, and God sent me over to her, looking at the stuff that she had to sell, but there was a different purpose. Gave her the book, and then God just supernaturally filled my mouth, and I sang prophetically into her life, and she said, you don't even know exactly what you spoke and what you sang was exactly what I needed to hear today. And she was she was really ministered to, because God put you in a path that he wants you to take to get to someone that he needs to give a word to. How about Gage? He works in a place called Tim Hortons, our second coffee place, Dunkin' Donuts being number one. And this was in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And he was so excited to receive a book. You can see it was a different color because we had different, you know, versions. And he says, you know what? I have never received such an awesome gift in my life. Thank you so much for giving me this gift today. Then one day we were passing through, I don't even know where, but you see on the bag there, we were at McDonald's. And it was so funny. They were sitting in that booth, and I just came up and I just plopped myself down in the booth beside them. And I said, I have a gift for both of you. So I gave them both a book. And I said, do you have any prayer requests? And they said, yes. So right there in McDonald's, we prayed for their requests, because God helped me, what? Overcome my fear, because I prayed and asked him. Oh, does fear completely escape me now and I never have fear no more in my life? Oh, no. It still comes. But what do I have to do? I have to go back to the one who delivered me and said, Father, deliver me again. Because you know what? The devil, his greatest weapon, fear, false evidence appearing real. Greatest weapon, he's going to use it, and he will keep using it and keep using it because he wants to stop you. There was a homeless lady in Phoenix. She was sitting at a bench. She had her buggy with all her stuff. I stepped into her living room. That's where she was living at. I gave her a book, put some money in it. I said, hey, can we take a selfie? She said, no, I don't look very good today. I said, okay. And I sat there. I put my arm around her. Most people, she could be dirty. But God said, put my arm around her. And she was so thankful to receive the book. And we talked for a while. Jim was somewhere else, and she goes, oh, do you have a phone? Maybe you can contact him. I said, yeah, I have a phone. And I said, Hannah, I'm busy right here. And he said, okay, I'll catch up with you. And we talked for a while. And she says, you know what, that money and that book, she goes, sometimes I like to go into Starbucks and just sit there, and this will give me something to read while I'm in there. And then, I just might take the money, and I might buy myself something to drink. It's worth it. It's worth it. You don't know who you're going to minister to. You don't know who you're going to touch. She was so excited that I just took time to step into her little living room on that park bench in Phoenix. Sometimes it's not easy when God asks us to do certain things, but if we trust him, he will give us exactly what we need to give to them. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And the timer is smarter than me. For the first 25 years of her Christian life, she told nobody about Jesus other than our children. There's hope for everybody. We have taught people how to do this, how to share their faith, who have been Christians over 40 years who had never shared their faith. Anybody can learn how to communicate the gospel. This is a way that's easy. It's effective. Everyone can learn how to do this. There's another book called Real Life Stories, Lighthouse Edition 6, and these ones are on the table. They are available. They're available for just $1 a piece. They're available for so much a case, and you can buy 3 cases for another dollar amount. But this is a very special book for us, and I want to tell you how this book came about, and I'm amazed that it even has come about. Sometimes maybe I don't have as much faith as I should have, but going back about a year and a half ago, the Lord said to me, well, actually, it was in the late part of 2017. The Lord said to me, I want you to do a new book, and I want you to call it the Million Book Project. And I'm thinking, Million Book Project. And I'm thinking to myself, well, at that time, we had given out about 600,000 books. And I'm thinking, We're going to develop a new book, and over maybe 20 years, we're going to reach that million book spot. That's what I'm thinking. And God says to me, no, the first 600,000 don't count. I want you to announce a new 1 million book project. And 20 years is too long. You can do this in 10 years. Okay, God, how are we going to pay for this? He said, I want you to just start sending out emails and texts to people who know you and know what you're doing, those you've been mentoring, those you've been pouring into, and I want you to solicit 28 people to donate $100 a month for 10 years. Yeah, God. Yeah. This book now has 28 people in it, donating $100 a month for 10 years. We ordered the first 50,000 in January of 2018. We ordered the second 50,000 in July of 2018. Due to the fact that they always give you overruns, we ended up with 110,000. And by the end of December, that 110,000 will have been given away, and we will be on target in year one to give away 1 million books over 10 years. Now think about this. 28 people sold out to Jesus to be the hands and feet to carry his gospel message into a lost and dying world. 28 people are going to reach 1 million lost souls with the gospel message. Isn't that awesome? Take the limits off. Did you hear me? Take off the limits. God is bigger than our limitations. Joanne, are you ready? Come on.
Good morning. Do I have any Jesus lovers in the house? Wait a minute. Do I have any Jesus lovers in the house? Amen. See, I need to get you excited and need to get you awake just a little bit, because what you're about to hear is going to change your witnessing lifestyle. Anybody ready for a change? You know, when I began to love the Lord Jesus, my life changed in increments. And as it changed, then so did my tent pegs. Amen. So we want to get out there and we want to do more and more, but yet sometimes we let that fear, that false evidence appearing real, stop us. And I got sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I got tired of being stopped. And I said, Lord, help me. Because there's so many people out there in this world that I can't touch, but you can. That I can't reach, but you know. And I said, Father, as I was assistant pastor, it was easy to talk inside these four walls. As I was a chaplain and went into the jails and reached those people in there, that became easy. But I'll be truthful with you. Outside those four walls, I was afraid. I was afraid I'd be ridiculed. I was afraid that I would be laughed at, mocked at. What, anybody else had fears like that? Or I just didn't know what to say, what to do. Anybody else? Well, you know, scripture says in Isaiah 6, verse 8, as I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me, Lord. And I was so excited. Send me, Lord. Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? What's today look like, Father? What? And then I'd freeze. because I'd walk out in the world and it seemed cruel and cold. And 4 years ago, praise God, the Lord had sent the Barbarossas in this awesome tool to use in my life, because just to be honest with you, I'd gotten kind of stagnant. Anybody else? Been in the jails and I seen all these people and it just seemed to me like they weren't getting reached. And then I hear the Holy Spirit say, you know what? It's not about you. It's about you being the hands and feet. But it isn't always about what you say as necessarily maybe what you do. And it's so simple, church. Here in a minute, I want to show you a video of what the faces look like and what you can do with this tool. And it's so simple as this. I write stories. In this book are all kinds of different life-changing stories. Let me leave this with you. And walk away. Done. Because you are out of the picture now. But it gives the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to step in when they're alone, reading that book in every fourth chapter, or when they get a hold of the truth pages, life begins to change because the word does not return void. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I'm about to run out of time. But that was the best vacation I have ever been on in my life. Not because of where I went, but because what I purposed to do. I purposed to set about saving lost souls. I purposed to be about Father's business every single day. And that tool was a reminder. Hallelujah.
I wonder this morning if there's any reason that some of us may want to get back up on the potter's wheel. Maybe he needs to do a little nipping and tucking in different places, especially in that area of fear, because fear doesn't belong in any of us. If fear is in you or on you, it is trespassing. And by the end of this session, it's going to leave in Jesus' name. That simple. That simple. In Jesus' name. Fear has no part in you. Book displays. This is one of our book displays. After we started giving away books, the idea came to me to start putting book displays in local businesses. Free, take one. We had book displays in the liquor store, on top of the cigarette machine. We had them in bowling alleys. We had them in attorney's offices, doctor's offices, dental offices, auto repair places. I want to tell you a story about one young man, 64 years old, when we started using books. He helped me and Carla put book displays in Portage, Indiana, in about 10 or 12 locations. And over the last 16 years, this young man who's now 80, who rides a bike, does not drive a car, but he takes books to these locations with all these book displays every week, two or three times sometimes. Riding his bike in the snow, in the rain. This man has sowed 40,000 books into the life of lost souls in Portage, Indiana. One man! One man! Could you be that one man? Could you be that one woman? For this city, you could do this. You could take this on as a ministry. Imagine if each person here would just get permission to put three book displays up in three different locations. What could happen? One of the things that that young man of 64 had in common with everybody that you've heard from so far today, he could not share his faith beyond the walls of a building. He was afraid to. But right after he met Carla and I, he came on a trip to Jamaica with us. On the way home on that trip from Jamaica, he led a young man to Jesus on the airplane. If you connect yourself with and you associate with those that are on fire who are witnessing for Jesus, you will do the same. Let's kick it up a notch. If you associate with the 90% that do not share their faith, you will be the same. Today, we're giving you hope. We're giving you a method, a way that's proven effective. We've been doing this 20 years. There's no flaws in it. Maybe us sometimes, because we can get in the way. When God says, go give that person a book, and you say, oh man, he's too big. You know when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something? He's already prepared the heart. And it's done. It's a done deal when the Holy Ghost is involved. Hotels. Could you flash that one up? And flash up the next one. It's just a couple of hotel lobbies. You can see book displays. When we're out traveling and ministering, if we give a book to the person at the front desk and they're warmly received, we go to the next step and say, hey, would you like to have 30 books? And we'll put a display up that you can give to your customers. There's so many ways to do this. It's so easy. Jimmy, are you ready? Come on, brother.
Before I met Jim Barbarossa, I did not witness. I did not share my faith with others, not even in church. I came in, listened to a sermon, got my little bit of encouragement and head knowledge, and back to my routine I went. I also couldn't feel. I could not feel happiness when something good happened. I could not feel sadness when someone passed away. I could not love myself. How can I tell others about Jesus if I cannot love? Even anger was a faint experience at best. I had no emotions. I had been hurt so bad growing up that I shut down emotionally until I met my fiance. I slowly started to open up to her. Then Jim came to my church and talked about the fivefold ministry, explained all the different aspects of each part of the body of Christ, the difference between a regular evangelist and an equipping evangelist. The first unity gathering session was on the topic of as you go love. Someone spoke about how he couldn't love and asked God to break through his stony heart that he might know God's love. And that day, he was able to love. I went up to that guy after the service and asked him to pray for me because I also could not love. From that night on, God started waking up my emotions gradually, each week. I got myself into trouble a couple of times because these emotions were all new to me and I didn't know what to do with them. But this was a strange new world. The best way to describe it is, imagine if you were born colorblind, then suddenly at 36 years old, you see red. What is that? I've only seen black and white my whole life. Then a week later, you see red and now green. Wow, what is this strange new phenomenon? Then blue, then yellow. It brings a whole new dimension to life. Over the course of 4 years, I've suffered a lot of loss, hurt, pain, gotten delivered from demonic oppression I didn't know I had. It has always been there. But every month, or every other month for 4 years, I've been getting training, hands-on training in a safe environment, and then sent out with a mission to walk with the Holy Spirit in my daily life and apply what was taught in the training sessions. When I make a mistake, I ask the Holy Spirit what I did wrong. How can I handle it better next time? This process has helped me to get to know the Holy Spirit better, to get to know with experience how God speaks to us in so many ways and how to recognize His voice. First, I got tools and know how to start conversation with someone. Then I began giving out the books regularly. Next, I began to actually converse with people. This was a challenge for me because I did not know how to talk to people. After that, I started explaining what is in the books and making myself available via phone, email, prayer, or counsel. Then things began to get harder. People became less likely to accept the book, so I had to step it up a notch. Through extreme loss and hurt, I am able to have more compassion and love for others. Now I'm asking the Holy Spirit to show me who I should talk to and what to say to them. I am saying this because He cares. Or if I lay hands on someone and they are healed, you got healed because God loves you. We are not just here for ourselves. We are here to bring God's love to all those who cross our path. And through practice, it should become part of who we are. Show the love of Jesus in everyday actions. Freely we receive, freely we should give. I remember giving a book to 16 people in one day just because I was waiting for my truck to get worked on at an auto repair shop. I went for a walk 3 times and each time gave out several books. However many books you bring with you is how many opportunities you will have to give them out. One kid was standing at the bus stop reading the book intently for 20 minutes before the bus came. They were all glad to receive the book. The Holy Spirit prepares their hearts, and all we do is show up, extend a book, and open our mouth and let the Holy Spirit talk through us. In just 4 quick years, I have gone from no emotions, an introvert, and just attending church to equipping the saints and evangelizing every day. This change in lifestyle has given me purpose, motivation, a reason to press on, and when depression tried to make me quit, it has changed who I am on the inside. I don't recognize the person in the mirror. This guy is a much better person. I kind of like that guy. He's pretty cool. I couldn't say that 3 years ago. But what God is making us is kind, compassionate, caring, generous, loving, considerate, slow to anger, patient, and just generally good. I don't know about you, but as for me, I now see people differently. Instead of a pathetic human shell, I see past their skin. I look in their eyes and I see their spirit, the life force breathed into them from God. I care for that soul. It is precious to God, therefore it is precious to me. I love the heart of God. It is the most beautiful thing I know. And the privilege of knowing the heart of God is the honor and commission to share the heart of God with as many as we can during our time here. No one's testimony is too small or too bad. That is how we overcome this world with the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony. Revelation 12. There is power in your testimony. So be obedient, write it down, get it printed, and start your walk with God this very day.
Thank you, Jimmy. Partners. When we partner with a church, we print 40,000 books. We deliver 20,000 to the church and 20,000 to our warehouse. The 20,000 that end up in our warehouse go out to all of those cities and states and a couple of countries. So when you partner with us, your testimonies not only reach your Jerusalem, but they reach Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Go ahead to the next picture. This is a ministry out of Alabama called Love Packages. They picked up 18,000 copies at our warehouse that are now being distributed throughout Asia, Africa, and the Caribbean islands. When you partner with us, you will be reaching those same places with the books that leave our warehouse. Go ahead to the next one. This is Trucker John. Trucker John comes in once a month and picks up 20 to 30 cases of books. Trucker John has book displays in truck stops, 30 of them all over the Midwest. When you partner with us, your books will be ministering to truckers and people who eat in these truck stops all over the Midwest. Go ahead to future books. Well, this isn't a future book. This is a new one. This is actually in existence now, but this is called Inmate to Inmate. And I want you to know that no matter what it is God tells you to do and how far beyond it is your capabilities, if you'll step out, He'll get it done. Several years ago, the Lord said to me, I want you to produce a new book and I want you to call it Real Life Stories Inmate to Inmate. I said, God, I don't know nothing about jail. I don't know nothing about prison. I've never been, I don't have a clue. He said, check your database in your emails. There's 6 people in there that you know personally that have something to do with prison ministry. So I contacted those 6 people and I said, you know, I have this crazy idea about writing a book called Inmate to Inmate. What do you think? Sounds like God to us. That was about November of the year. And would you believe it, on my birthday, right after the first of the year, I was in a maximum security prison preaching the gospel to 300 inmates. And 15 of those men wrote their stories, 10 of them lifers, and they're committed to use this book in the prison system to reach lost souls. Anyway, make a long story short, within less than a year, that book went into 300 prisons and jails in 36 states all across the country. They've gone into Canada, they've gone into Australia, and they've gone into New Zealand. But I couldn't do this. Praise God, I couldn't do it. Next picture, please. This is a part of the vision. We're going to do a book, Real Life Stories from Motorcycle Guys, Bikers. Go ahead to the next one. Veterans, go ahead to the next one. Sports people, go ahead to the next one. This is my favorite. This one's about to happen. We got our 22nd truck driver this morning who wrote their testimony for God's glory. And by January, we're going to go to print with Real Life Stories Truckers Edition. But the other cool part is when you partner with us, you can get some of the inmate books and the truckers books and the teenager books and whatever books we're producing, because we're all in this together. And you got all of this arsenal of tools that you can now use. Isn't that awesome? And I can't do any of this. I can't hardly spell. I can't use a word processor. But God. Jimmy, you got something.
Fear. You know, I got to say this because I got to confess. I was a pastor. Okay, it was easy to share my faith in the church and with Christians. Because it's easy to share with Christians, right? It's really easy to share with somebody like-minded. But what happens when somebody argues with you? You know how to share your faith then? Gets a little more difficult. You know, why do you believe? Because I know He touched me. And you can't take that away from me. Right? Your testimony, nobody can take from you. Because it's yours. You know, life before Jim and Carla, Step by Step Ministries. Difficult. Just like yours. Because everybody's life's difficult, right? It's called life. Ups and downs, sideways, forwards, backwards. Anybody else? Anybody have trouble sharing their faith? Out in public, in school, at work. How many of you are afraid to share your faith because you're at work and, you know, today's time, you know, we have to be politically correct? You're not allowed to say that. Excuse me? Yes, I am. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I believe in my testimony and the power of His blood because He saved me. What are you going to do to me? I'm more worried about what He's going to do to me if I don't. Now. Amen? You know, you've seen the pictures of the vacation. Changed our lives forever. Best vacation ever. And I forget the number of books. Jim probably knows. He's pretty good with numbers. But I think we did about 130 books in 4 days. And that was 4 years ago or something like that. I'm not sure when we went. I just know we went. Everywhere we go, we pass out books. Yes, we're blessed. It's a blessing to pick up a book and it's got your picture on the back of it. And you can say, I'm a co-author of this book. Would you like this gift? Do people tell you no? Yes. Do sometimes people call and mock you for it? Yes. I've had both. But I've also had that phone call that said, you don't know what your story did. It changed my life. See, just like you, I went through divorce. I went through depression. I didn't know what way was up, which way was sideways. I chased after my own flesh and did my own thing. Anybody else resemble that? I think we can all say we did. But when you learn to share your faith, it's really simple to walk up and give a book to somebody and then have the joy in your heart because you know you put the gospel in somebody's hands and God can take care of that and He can do it way better than you can. The Holy Spirit can do way better than you can when it comes to converting somebody. Because sometimes we talk too much. As a pastor, sometimes we talk too much. Right? We need to sit down, shut up. Amen? Bottom line is God loves us. And if you'll take the time to write your testimony, even if you don't put it in a book, of course, you know, we want you to put it in a book because it's such a blessing. And there's other stories in there besides yours. And one of those stories is going to touch somebody right in that sweet spot. Right in that spot that gets to them where the Holy Spirit can say, see what I did with them? What can I do with you? And if we'll bow our knee and obey God and do what He tells us to do, He'll take care of the rest of it. He'll literally take care of the rest of it. Of course, you know, everywhere we go, we pass out books. Restaurants, movie theater, empty benches, open car windows. If the Lord tells you to do it, do it. Instant obedience, Jim likes to say. If He tells you to do it, do it. Not that difficult. But write down your story. When you go somewhere, take 15, 20, or cases of books. We have cases of books in our van. When we go somewhere, we set displays up in laundromats. Salvation Army. A lot of people go to Salvation Army. A lot of hurting souls go to Salvation Army. Because they need help, right? Homeless shelters. Somebody needs a story. Somebody needs their life changed. I need to shut up because my time's up. But write your testimony down. Partner with us, Step by Step Ministries. And share your testimony so it can change the world.
Thanks, sir. We send out an email about twice a week with encouraging testimonies of how people are using these books all over the country. If you'd like to receive those, you can sign up for them at the table. I've had people tell me that it just keeps them filled with purpose, and it keeps them fired up and keeps them stirred up. Jimmy mentioned about being discipled. Our discipleship series is on the table. Very effective. The foundation for it is share your testimony. But then we teach after that, while you've got your two books in your hand and you're out passing them out, then you practice as you go love. And then you practice as you go hear and obey the voice of God. And then you practice as you go do acts of kindness. And then you practice as you go lay hands on the sick. And so there's 11 other teachings that build on what you're hearing today. But they change lives like they touch Jimmy's life. Those things are available on the table. I'm sure Apostle Leonard and Janet had us come here because they saw value in what we would bring. And I'm sure they did it hoping that you would see value in it too, and that you would want to reach this city with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that you would want to actively participate in it so that lives could be touched and lives could be changed. Would you be willing today of taking that step and getting back up on the potter's wheel by allowing him to extract your testimony out of you the way he wants it to be? And that's the important part. You have to tell it the way he wants it told. If you would be willing to write your story to the glory of God, so that we could partner with you and do a book with your faces and your stories, to be willing to write your story and submit it to Janet and Leonard so that it can be part of the book. Do you see the need? The need's there. The need's there. Will we answer the need? And I'm not asking each of you to give $100 a month like the people did for the Million Book Project. That was something that God had me do then. That is not now. Apostle Leonard and Janet know the details of what it takes to produce a book. They've got that information. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. We can do this. We can do this. We can do this. And there's still a few of you sitting down that when it's all said and done, when it's all said and done, there's a part of you that really wants to reach lost souls. And you're going to. You're going to. I want to ask y'all to sit for a moment. If you didn't stand because you're afraid and you want to be set free, stand right now. If you didn't stand because you're afraid, stand right now. Thank you for being honest, brother. Thank you, ma'am, for being honest. You see, fear is the biggest stopper. Now I want to address the other big stopper. You got too much pride. Pride says, I'm not offering somebody a book because if they refuse it, I'm going to look bad. Would the two of you come up right here? Jim and Joanne, I want you to pray with them. Those that are going to pray for you have been set free of that fear. Is there anybody else? Be honest. Come on. Fear stopped you. Fear's been stopping you from sharing your faith. Now's the time to get prayer if it has. I'm not going to drag this on, but I know that I know that I know that there's some more of you who are going to answer the call before it's all said and done. Apostles, thank you for inviting us into the house today. I see a spirit of excellence upon this ministry. And God has heard your heart's cry. This was built on a solid foundation. And it's time to build again. It's time to build again. And God's given you the tools to do it.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, we've known Jim and Carla for many, many years, and they know the heartbeat of River of Life is evangelism. It's how we began and reaching out into the heart of the city. That's God's heart. To go into the highways and byways and share the good news of the gospel. And so when they joined up with CI this last year and we connected again because they've ministered in the church before when we were downtown. We were so excited to hear about this book and the testimonies. We have amazing, amazing testimonies of things God has done for our River of Life family. And so we are so excited because we can do this. And this is God's plan. This is God's will. And once again, as I was sitting there listening to him, I thought, this isn't a scheme to make money. And so many ministers take advantage of people, and it's a money scheme. And that's not what Jim and Carla are about. They are about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are about establishing the kingdom of God. And so as we partner with them, we are being a part of a much, much bigger project than just River of Life. But I am so excited that you came today. And this isn't going to be the only visit because they'll come back to follow up on us and continue to help us along the way. They don't just throw it out there and leave you. They're teachers, they're mentors, they're trainers. They'll walk alongside of us as we accomplish this. And so together, we can do this. Tell your neighbor, we can do this.